Hi, I'm Tara Brabazon, and yes, this is our final session of Creative Industries. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me. As you may remember, we started this course with J.R. Tolkien. We conclude with his friend and colleague who also wrote fantasy and has also continued to punctuate the 21st century. Near the end of his life, C.S. Lewis spoke not of writing, but of reading. He stated, quote, "Those of us who have been true readers all our lives seldom recognize the enormous extension of our being that we owe to authors. My own eyes are not enough for me. The eyes of all humanity are not enough. In reading great literature, I become a thousand men, yet remain myself. Like the night sky in a Greek poem, I see with a thousand eyes, but it is still I who see. Here, as in worship, as in love, as in moral action and in knowing, I transcend myself, and I'm never more myself than when I do." So in a time when work, leisure, politics and identity is changing, it's even more important that we value and recognise the integrity of provocative writing, well-theorised approaches and the disciplined mobilisation of knowledge. Now, in the next 5 years, the major areas of growth and success in media studies, I believe, will be sonic media, city imaging, post-work environments, leisure, fitness and health, and sports media. As you can see, I've tried to weave all these topics through our course so that you can really see how the field will develop. In this, our final session, we explore the role and the function of the university, the role and function of the intellectual, and scholarly writing in how we build the knowledge economy of the future. Educational changes through the 1980s and 90s made those of us who work in the humanities and social sciences think about new reasons for our existence. In 1987, the Hawke Labor government implemented a program of reform to Australian tertiary education based on a white paper that was titled Higher Education, a Policy Statement. Well, at least it was a descriptive title. This white paper was meant to show how higher education could serve the social and the economic goals of Australia. They called these national priorities. So higher education, rather than employers, had to facilitate the reskilling of the workforce. Higher education, rather than governmental policies, had to integrate and initiate developments and relationships between Australia and the Pacific Rim countries. It was higher education, rather than governmental communications policy, that had to develop Australia's information technology sectors. So the humanities were always considered to be part of a general or a liberal education. We tried to develop better citizenship. But it was in this background that cultural policy was formed as the vocational arm of media and cultural studies. Cultural policy formed a way to institutionalise the study of culture, to secure the intellectual terrain, if you like, during difficult political times. Certainly it's hard to justify in clearly economic terms the value of media studies, but this policy arm seemed to show how media studies could serve these national interests. So the Creative Industries Initiatives we've talked about through this course continues the imperative to prove how the humanities can pay its own way and economically benefit the nation. But of course, a university is more than this. One of the purposes of the medieval university was the maintenance of power by the elite. The best example of this desire was Walter de Merton, who founded a house of scholars in 1264. This became Cambridge's Merton College. And the founder's kindred, I love that word, kindred, the founder's kindred had first claim upon places in the college. Therefore, the funding that was granted to the college was tethered to self-interest and the maintenance of traditional sites of authority. Patrons and legacies became integral to student financing. So over the medieval period, universities gained more and more property and diverse funding sources. Through the 19th and early 20th century, new imperatives shaped the university. The split between tradition and practicality, although a problematic binary opposition as we've talked about through our sessions, does actually foreshadow, I think, the division between education and training in the 21st century. By the end of the 19th century, the purposes of the university became obvious: to reinforce those who hold power and to simplify the teaching experience to imparting knowledge rather than the reflexive interpretation of material. It was John Henry Newman who affirmed the importance of a liberal education, as it created an environment where an interest in scholarship and learning could be sustained through life. Pivotally, he argued that all branches of knowledge were actually connected together. While Newman's work has famous passages that are regularly quoted, I think it is important to recognise the complexity of his argument. His words are trapped in a great political dilemma of his time, the Victorian era. He was trying to deal with, if you like, the challenges of the Industrial Revolution. This was the need for universities to either make gentlemen or to advance science. And that problem, which way do the universities actually move, really shadows the book's arguments. But for Newman, universities had a primary purpose. A liberal education trains the mind, just as a physical education hones the body. Throughout much of the university's history, there was really no sense that education was aimed beyond the elite. The university system, though, has been unstable through much of its history. But I think the greatest difficulty that faces the sector in which I currently work, and which you're enrolled, is really a crisis of purpose. There is a notion, you know, that working class students do not have the right, the desire, or the capacity to complete education like the middle class. So the working class are only interested in being schooled in work-related skills. What that means is another generation of young people can service the needs of the middle class, who are themselves educated at higher scholastic and critical levels. To suggest that the working class want a quick skills-based degree that will gain them a job little better than their own parents because of degree inflation, I think is class-based prejudice at its most ruthless. So next time you go, oh right, flexible education, flexible learning, I don't have to come onto campus, I can sit at home and fit education into my lifestyle, recognise what that ideology is doing. It's suggesting you don't need to learn a lot, you don't need to be critical of things, you don't need to be challenged. You just need to learn a few convenient skills, get into a university, get out of a university, and get into the workplace. So be very careful when you celebrate flexible learning, because it suits the interests of a very empowered group in our culture. Unfortunately, too many universities operate as if all students have access to dominant motifs and motives for learning within society. You see, failure in education is not a question of being gifted, bright, or exceptional. Instead, it's a matter of possessing middle-class assumptions about knowledge and being able to mobilise and use them in ways that's recognised by the dominant order, that is, the teachers, like me. So while we rarely hear these days about the need to educate only the best and the brightest of our system, the sector, the university sector, is still dominated by these groups, because our understanding of what is literacy, what is creativity, what is valuable culture has not changed sufficiently to allow more diverse groups and literacies onto our campuses. The creative industries muddy the line between skills and scholarship. So these representational wars that are currently being fought both inside and outside the university involve all of us thinking about the nature of culture, the nature of creativity, the nature of what it means to be an Australian, and the role and place of a university in an economy and in a society. All communities require stories that are relevant, that speak to their present. Media studies will be part of this process that I hope will generate effective political options for our future. But I thank you for taking this first series of steps with me through our creative industries journey. I wish you every success, every happiness. Thank you. Be well.